Loud About Nothing. It's me, your boy, the hottest dude in the podcast game, Sebastian Canelli. And as always, per usual, we have the cute boy here himself, Robbie Boy. Robbie, say hello to the beautiful people.
Beautiful people, what is going on?
What is going on? Nothing. Happy belated Easter, Rob.
Belated Easter. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yes, we're recording this on Monday, April Fool's Day. We will be doing no April Fool's jokes. No April Fool's jokes here, but yeah, everything's going okay. People, I want to let you know my mom has left the hospital. She has made it back to the home.
Good news.
That's good news. It's a different, very good news, very positive, very in the right direction, which is beautiful. Hard in a different way, right? And so I've been home. I still am home. I think last night was one of the only, third night I slept in Brooklyn.
In almost a month.
Yeah, a little more than that. And so I was in Brooklyn. But so Robbie and I hop on Zoom. One, my mother goes, I hop on Zoom because my mom's obsessed with me doing work.
She is.
But she wants me to do stuff for her nonstop.
Okay.
She's obsessed with me, like, doing work because she knows I need to make rent and I'm not like, I'm not a mogul, as I used to be. But she's obsessed with me doing work, but also wants me to do stuff. I have to do stuff for her, you know? And she's like, can't do stuff, so I have to get up and do stuff for her. And so I'm on the call with Robbie, and my mom goes, oh, is that my friend Rob?
That was really nice.
Also, my mom's so funny because she goes like this to me. She goes, Sebastian, tell me. She goes, What friends of yours weren't good and respectful to you during this time? Which friend should we hate?
Oh, she said that?
she goes,
you know the usuals.
I told her.
Hard to call him friend now.
But she goes, what friends weren't good to you? She goes, well, I need to know. Because my mom's taking, I've never seen my mom's taking freaking names, bro.
My mom's taking names.
It's beautiful. I mean, but it's like the names are Noah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to go Noah. So then I'm on the.
I mean, no one that's a friend, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone that I care about, that's in intimate relationship in my life has been there, right? And sometimes I haven't even responded to. I've been bad about responding to people. Actually, that's on me. I've gotten phone calls I haven't answered. Yeah, whatever. They have to.
I think people understand.
If they don't, screw them.
Yes.
If someone doesn't understand that I can't respond to them instantly or call them back, they don't understand. That's not for me. That's for them.
Yes.
So I'm on the Zoom, and my mom goes, "Is that my friend Rob?"
That's how. Only the closest friends call me Rob.
I know. And so I go, yeah. And so she goes, let me see him. And my mom, her head shaved and she's got the long back. We call her Hulk Hogan, which she doesn't love. She loves it enough. She does. She's not angry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know why? Because if it's something that happened to you, it's not like an insecurity that she has, you know?
Yes.
Because it'll be different soon.
Yeah.
So I've been calling the Hulk around the house, and she's like, "I want to show you how she's doing." And Robbie gets on. I turn the camera.
I was like, "I don't look good enough to see your mother." I put a hat on.
I'm like, wait,
I gotta be right back.
He ran away to fix himself. Literally, she's seen you ass out on the couch sleeping at my house.
Not ass out.
Drunk. Ass out farting. With weed containers all around you.
It's not true.
And so my mom goes, hi, Robbie, how you doing? And Robbie goes, good. How you doing? Nice? He goes, how you doing? Nice? Nice? Are you doing nice?
I said, how you feeling?
How you feeling? Nice?
Okay. Like, I did say that.
Yes, because you are. You...
That wasn't. All right. Just so everybody knows. This was maybe 10. No.
No.
6 minutes
no.
into our combo.
This was 3 lines in.
No, it's not 3 minutes. It's not 3 lines in.
This was 3 lines in.
No, because we talked about Easter. She was telling me about Easter, the guest list of Easter, for the people on the guest list she hasn't seen. And I was. It's nice to be around your family on a holiday. So I'm like, how are you? It was more about we got
Robbie,
through the feeling.
Robbie doesn't know how to. Robbie, after I had that conversation with you, when I'm around you and my phone picks up you talking to me, I get algorithm pushes me how to have conversations. I swear to God, after.
Why don't I get these ads?
I don't know why. Truly.
I need these
ads. It was like teaching you how to talk.
Well, no, it was more into the combo. The first thing she said, which I love.
How you feeling? Nice. Just like, no, she's not feeling freaking nice, you know?
No, I it was in the context.
My mom even just started laughing at you.
It was
you.
In the context.
My mom didn't even respond to your question. She starts laughing at you.
It was a stupid question. It was in the context of having the family around for Easter. Not like physically, you feeling nice?
It was a long enough pause. There was a dead air and he didn't know what to do.
Because we're talking about Easter. There was a dead air and I didn't know what to do. And I said, how are you feeling? Nice.
But then you hit the nice for a very long time. You know what? I saw some tips on how to converse better with people.
Okay. I think I'm good.
Okay, never mind.
Sometimes I'm really good. Sometimes I'm great. And then sometimes I'm bad. I'm really bad.
Well, they said
it's in a middle.
An easy thing to do, even if you're asking simple questions, is to follow up. Even if you're talking about like boring ass stuff like the weather, they said follow up with a either or scenario for them and then have an opinion on which one you prefer.
I do that. I feel like we do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving you the tips that you said that you wish you were getting on my phone.
Okay.
And so it'll be like, oh, nice weather outside.
There is nice weather. I heard this week.
What is this ChatGPT thing I'm getting right here?
So what am I supposed to do right now? I'm supposed to apply either or to nice weather outside? I was going to either go to the movies or walk around the park. I don't know. I got to see what the weather.
You're making me feel uncomfortable, and I know you so well.
I'm going to make people feel uncomfortable. All right. I don't know. What am I supposed to do here?
Just an either or option.
An either or option with regards to the weather?
Give me. I'm just proving that even the most boring topics could be interesting.
It's nice weather outside.
Yeah, it makes me like wonder, what do I prefer to do more on a nice day? Like go sit outside in the park, or like get like physically active outside?
Nice. I prefer walking around the park's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice balance of like doing something like physically getting in your body a little more, right? Isn't it nice? I feel like in winter we can't be in our bodies, and then in the springtime we get to be in our bodies more.
All right, you did a good job. Good job. I didn't do a great job, I guess. But no, I know we thought we had a nice combo.
No, it was fun. It was nice.
We had a nice combo.
It was great.
The first thing she said was, I'm a miracle. And she is. I love that for her.
She's preaching that.
I love that.
She's preaching that. Which is beautiful, so.
Me too. She also came to my defense. The internet was fucking being crazy to me. And she liked my video about New York being a weed city. When she likes my videos, she's now my favorite person that can like my videos.
That's nice.
When I get Sebastian's mom's approval. I was always like when your mom likes my videos.
Uh-huh. But now
it hits even harder.
Now it hits even harder.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So just giving you a little update on that just because I know people.
I go, my videos. You're in the video. Almost always. It's a lot of her son.
Of course, but I was letting
a
you
lot
have
of
it.
Her son.
I was letting you have it because clearly you needed it. You clearly wanted it, so have it.
It is a lot of her son.
No, she probably
her
looks
favorite,
at it.
Her favorite boy
goes
in
like
the world.
This. She goes, la, 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 when I'm talking, closes her eyes and waits till you pop on the screen.
And I'm like, oh, she likes me in this video. No.
She probably does.
It is, yeah.
No, take the win.
No, I'll take the win. I will take the win. I will take the win.
I want to give you the win, man. You know, we need wins.
Yeah, for sure.
You need wins.
That's a win for me. Sometimes that's a highlight of my day. That's how the days are going.
They're
going
to make you smile.
Yes.
And I've actually, so it's April. Happy April. Happy spring, right? We are officially entering the spring territory. And I see people happy, right? I see some more smiling faces out and about, which is really nice. And I feel like there's no joy that I really see. And I've been seeing it a lot lately because it's springtime and people are making bold moves in like how they look right now, right?
Okay.
I feel like there's no joy, no smile that I see more than a man that was struggling with their hair loss that just completely shaves their head.
You think so?
I see someone that's done fighting the current. The smile that I see over someone that completely just is like, screw it, I'm a bald man.
Yeah.
The joy of they're finally going, flying with the wind rather than pushing against it. I see such big smiles from bald men.
That is nice.
If I'll tell you this, you see a man with a comb over, receding hairline, most of the time, a big grouch. You see a guy completely shaved bald, he's going to be happier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, once you let go, you let go. It's a huge Buddhist decision. It's a huge decision.
But I think that there's peace with that decision.
Which, yes. I guess there's always been a conflict in that time period. But I feel like today, more than ever, it's very much known by the general public of adults that you can just go to Turkey and get, like, there's a fix.
Hair. Yes, there's a fix.
There's never been as much of, like, a obvious fix that is just like, all right, you spend a couple thousand dollars, go to Turkey and fix this. It used to be, like, a toupee or whatever. People would have to be a lot more creative.
Even toupees are nice now.
Back in the day. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. But just to let go and be like, I'm not going to Turkey. I'm not doing a toupee. I'm not doing a baseball cap.
Nothing.
I'm going to be a bald guy.
I'm going to be the peace.
It must be when you just accept it.
The inner peace a man has when they go, screw it, I'm going to be bald.
Yes.
I trust that man more than someone that's fighting for his hair life.
Yeah.
Because that person has so much on their minds and not enough on their head.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. You also then become bald guy sooner.
You want to see what just happened?
What?
You want to give a specific example, but this is something that, but you were like, I can't throw this person under the bus.
No. I'm going to talk about the person.
This is an area that men can't throw each other under the bus.
No. This is what I was going to say. You become a bald guy sooner, and then it's a new life.
It is.
And
then
by
second life.
10 years into being a bald guy, you're a bald guy.
And
nobody thinks twice at all. My uncle, so my grandfather on my mom's side, which is who you're supposed to get your hair from.
Okay.
Bald in his 20s. My uncle, bald in his 20s. I never knew him not as a bald guy.
He looks great.
I always thought he's a really good looking guy. Bald. I mean, he's got bright blue eyes. He's tall. He was a gym teacher. Worked out every single day of his life.
Of course.
I thought he was one of the coolest people growing up that I knew, bald guy, and now I give him a lot, now that I know about the world, and I'm a 30-year-old man, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is also a guy who shaved his head at like 24 years old, and was just like, yeah, I'm gonna be bald for the rest of my life.
And you know what?
And he just had to accept it,
there
and
was
now
peace.
He became a bald, he figured out how to be cool as a bald guy pretty early, like, then you're in your 30s, even if it takes you 10 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
Now you're in your early 30s, and you got the rest of your life where you know how to fucking live life as a bald guy.
Also, bald guys, they do this. It's like growing up fat. You need something else. I know a bald guy will at least, either I'm going to love him or hate him. It's never just going to be in between.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
they're gonna be obsessed about something. They either work hard on themselves or work hard on being toxic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what a man's fear is, I think.
Is what?
With being bald. It's like, am I going to have enough?
That
am
is
I
the
enough
fear.
To be bald? I don't think I'm I don't know. I don't know if I'm enough.
There is
to be bald. I need the hair as a crutch.
There's an idea of, it's not about, is my dick enough? Is my hair enough?
Yeah.
You lose your hair, then the insecurity really happens.
Yeah.
Because everyone sees your hair.
You need... The personality's got to be on par.
It better be.
Certain other things have to really be on par if you're going to lose your hair.
And you know what? People that shave their head and then become nicer people because they're like, I don't want to be perceived as an angry bald man, they're the best.
Not the worst, yeah.
A happy bald man is a beautiful person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Or someone that just, I also think someone that is losing their hair, that's just like cool with it, is great too.
I agree with you 100%.
It's just the fighting aspect that makes I feel bad about.
I saw an interview of Larry David, and he was like, the thing I'm most proud of myself in my entire life is not Seinfeld, not Kurt, whatever, is how gracefully I allowed myself to go bald. And I think about that quote all the time. Because that quote, really, it sticks in my head all the time. It's really about embracing insecurity. I'm sure he saw a lot of other men deal with it in a bad way, and he's just like, I just accepted it from day one.
Aging gracefully.
Yes.
Aging gracefully.
That's more of what I guess it's about, yeah. And I think about that all the time. Yeah,
and it's something that our society is steering away towards.
Yes, very much so.
And I think that we need to age gracefully.
It's the most natural thing we do.
Here's the thing. If a man goes bald, maybe he can't hook up with a 22-year-old. But you know what? Maybe he shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's natural selection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's not. We need to throw some plugs on it so you can get back in the college bars.
Yeah. I know.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you know who's not going to care? If you're 40 and you're bald, you know who's not going to care that you're bald? A 40-year-old woman.
No, 100%.
And you know what?
You're right.
You're not going to care if her boobs are slightly saggy.
No, of course not.
Because we're in the fight together.
Yes, but it's more people that want to date younger, men that want to date younger.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
The hair always goes back to want to get young ass.
Yes, you're right. You're 100% right. Well, this is a good segue. I have a segue.
I'm scared.
Okay. Someone who has not been able to do this well. At all, unfortunately.
Who?
My king, who I got to see on Easter.
Yes.
Who, he was balding. I mean, the guy hit the genetic lottery in so many ways, aside from the fact that in his early 20s, he started to bald. And many times you see it go up, and then it comes back. And it's like, people have suspected that he's done maybe like 8 or 9 of these hair surgeries.
And he's just meant to be bald.
And he's meant to be bald. And it is... And he recently
video of his hair going up and his teammate going like this, and he pushes it back down on his head.
Well, even recently, he's 39. I mean, obviously the man is fighting aging.
Yeah.
Better than almost anyone in the history of athleticism. But the thing that you can't work out in the gym is growing hair.
No.
And he brushes, like, there's videos of him brushing his hair, his non-existent hair. And it's like, it is a little sad.
It is the thing.
That's one of the things about him that is like, we can make fun of him.
It's human.
It is very human and it's very sad.
It just shows you how important men's hair is.
I know, it really
is. It really
is. LeBron James, literally the most athletic 40-year-old ever to exist.
Yes.
And he's still fighting that battle.
We'd rather you make fun of anything else than our hair.
Yeah. Well, and also, I don't know if it's, because he would get made fun of a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's where his insecurity, you know what I mean?
Could be.
He would wear the headband. He's been fighting it in so many different ways throughout his very public career.
Yeah.
So that is funny, yeah. He is not, it's wild that he hasn't just shaved his head.
And that just proves to you how important hair is.
Yeah.
Because this is a man that's known as one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah.
And he's still going, no, I got hair.
Yeah.
I got hair. He could have anything he wants. He saw the movie Space Jam. He goes, I could do that.
Yeah, and he did.
And he did.
He did another one.
Oh, God.
And he doesn't. Yeah. But.
Well, congrats on seeing him.
I got to see him.
First time ever. Big fan.
First time ever. It was amazing.
For many reasons. Big for you.
It was huge.
And I really want to make sure that you had a good time. I was thinking about you.
Thank you. And I did. It was extreme. First, I went to go see LeBron. Yesterday on Easter. Shout out to my cousin who took me.
Shout out the Capo.
Yeah, yeah. And he had his best game, most points that he had all season, his best career shooting night from 3-point, standing ovation at, it was basically a Laker home game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does, he gets a huge fucking audience applause. But it was really fun. I've been following this team. Especially the NBA. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of drama.
Yeah.
Like the most tweeted about thing is sports. Like there's a lot of the athletes are online too, I would say, especially in basketball, where they'll like tweet at each other or they'll be passive aggressive towards each other.
Well, especially that their faces are shown.
That's
like a big thing. If your faces are shown in the sport that you play, you're more in the public eye.
Yes. Absolutely. And they play 82 games and they have to do an interview every night. So it's like, there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of like, all right, what are we going to talk about today? Like, they're doing basically a 15-minute podcast every night.
Like an interview.
Interviewed, yeah, yeah, yeah. But
they're not thinking of topics before.
No, but some of them do. Kyrie does. Kyrie would go into some of those interviews and he goes, actually, we're going to talk about what I want to talk about today.
Yeah, well, that's a little different. Different podcast.
Some people differ. Yeah. But it's fun. I was like, I saw, because I was excited to see bench players. I didn't even take as many videos of LeBron. I was like so enamored by LeBron. I'm taking pictures and videos of the coach. I'm taking pictures and videos of the players I don't like. Something else I was excited about for the game. So, like, one of the guys on the Brooklyn Nets was on the Lakers last year.
Cool.
And this big article came out recently of one of the guys on the Lakers did, like, a expose. I did a big interview, and he just kind of spilled all the tea.
Yeah.
And he was like, I just don't get played because the coach has favorites. And last year I had to deal with this. I had to deal with it this year. And he called out one of the guys that was on his team last year. And he's like, yeah, he took his son to the prom in Atlanta 6 years ago. And that's why he prioritized this other guy who's clearly not as good. And they let go in the summer.
Wow.
To whatever. In his Lamborghini. I guess the coach's son thought the guy on the team's Lamborghini was nice. And he took him to the prom. And he's like, that's why I didn't get playing time. And it had to wait till the end of the season when they let him go for me to get more playing time.
Incredible.
Which is wild to bring up this old shit in the middle of the guy is still the coach.
Yeah.
And then, which was funny, is then this picture of the coach's son and this player on the Brooklyn Nets now at pre-prom in front of a Lamborghini, which is a two-seater car.
Oh, yeah. Where's the date?
The dad's not in there. The date's not in there.
Yeah.
To just show up to your senior prom with some guy on the team.
Not ideal.
Not that cool.
No.
Like, it was pretty embarrassing that it came out. Also, it's embarrassing for the player a little bit.
Definitely. I'm driving a kid to the
I'm driving a kid. What are you going to talk about? So, and the guy's German. He's not even from the United States.
That's weird.
And he's driving the kid to the prom.
Yeah,
and then the coach prioritizes it. The fans don't like the coach, the Laker fans.
Uh-huh.
Which is, that's another, like, fun little joke, I guess, that is ongoing in the Lakers lore. But I was very excited to see these two people go at it because one guy just had a big article come out against them, and then they're going to be in person together guarding each other. So, I mean, there's a lot of storylines at play.
I will say this.
I felt like I was seeing my favorite TV show live.
Robbie, you're doing a great job of making sports drama.
It is drama.
I know. I'm saying that you're doing a great job of like pitching how it is drama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you're making sports about the drama of it rather than the actual sports of it.
Yes.
Because what I don't connect to with sports is the number.
Is them playing it.
It's like they have this, like this number, like 9 for 10 for.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I do love that. I love statistics. I love stats.
Yes. And I just couldn't give a crap about
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have my own stats I'm working on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's nice to be like the drama of it all. That's why I did like the 30 for 30s because it was all about the drama
stuff.
I enjoy those over like watching games.
Yes, yes.
Because you need to be in on the drama.
Yes. I like watching the games, but there's drama in the games if you know the storylines. That's
of
another
course,
thing.
Yes.
That, like if you're looking at – and Bron just brings his own gravity to every situation where it's like there's drama around him. Whenever he goes – it's like you kind of have to sign up. If you're on his team, you sign up to be on a reality TV show.
It's amazing.
Basically. No, it is very fun. And it was fun to see him live, but...
Congrats. I'm happy. You've worked very hard.
Yeah. I mean,
him for years and years and years.
Years and years and years.
And you finally got to be in the
I got to see him live, and he had one of his best games of his life.
Did you?
Which is crazy.
Was it hard to sleep last night because you were kicking your feet so hard in bed?
I didn't shower. I was going to shower at like 1 a.m. I was going to shower at 1 a.m. and I was like, I'll just ride this one out.
You just want a little LeBron stick.
Ride this one
like,
out. One more night.
Some
I'll shower in the morning.
To the pot.
Nah, I showered this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
But you thought about it. You're like, washing them off.
Washing the great game off. No, another piece of drama that I think is more relatable to, not relatable, but in a greater broad of people want to pay attention to. I would say Drake's most famous friend is LeBron.
Nice.
They're pretty good friends. LeBron like has him on his show a bunch, and LeBron always like speaks highly of Drake or whatever. they kind of support each other in whatever feuds that they're usually going through. Yes, massive stars.
Makes sense. They're around the same age.
Yes.
Makes sense.
100%.
Yes.
I don't know if the people know, but Kendrick Lamar recently put out like a diss track against Drake.
Uh-huh.
And it's been the number one song in the country for the last 2 weeks.
Well, because people argue about like they couldn't be more opposite styles of hip hop.
Yes.
One is
Well, Drake tried to make a Drake also, it's funny because Drake was like the big three. He basically said there was a big three rappers of this era.
Yes.
And that was not enough for Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar was like, there's me and everybody else.
Yeah.
So he basically came out and was like, don't loop me in with you, Drake.
Yeah. Who was the other person?
J. Cole.
Yeah.
And Kendrick's like, nah. Like,
yeah.
I think Drake is more of a pop star, personally. People were like, too. He's more in the Taylor Swift Bad Bunny combo than like the Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick is like a poet that's talking about the struggles of being a black man in American society.
Yes, yes. And he's very intrapersonal, or like how he dealt with. I think he's even more about himself.
Well, yeah,
he's not necessarily always. I think he gets not credit, but put up to make these really grand, big statements. Where it's like a lot of it is his feelings of this.
Well, because that's what he dealt
with.
Yeah. For him telling his story is telling thousands of people's stories. At the end of the day. And I think J. Cole's actually the more personal one out of the three of them as a storyteller.
Yeah. I don't listen to that much, J. Cole.
I think that he's the best storyteller.
Of all of them.
Because he'll have a whole song that's one story.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so he has this line that is like, there is no big three, it's just big me, which LeBron is always in these, like, whatever. And LeBron got caught, not caught, but he's just really into it before the game, rapping this, and it's his boy's diss track.
Wow.
So now everybody's like, is Drake going to respond? B, I don't think Drake can show up to any NBA playoff games this year.
He has to.
Because they're going to play this song in every arena.
Oh,
Drake's got to either respond, or what are you going to do? What does Drake do? If you see your bestie singing the lyrics about your downfall.
You know what Drake does?
What?
He sings it with LeBron.
No, he's not going to do it. Yeah, that is the move. That's the only move.
That's the move.
But that also just...
Because that shows that there's no ego. Like, I've screwed...
You have to... Well, then you just go, yeah, Kendrick, you are better than me. It is just big you.
Sure.
You just have to own it.
And Drake has the real... Drake's fan base is young kids.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes and no. He's Degrassi.
Yeah. He is Degrassi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Drake, I just think, I don't know. No. But to see his best friend, not his best friend, but his best celebrity friend, his most certified celebrity friend, singing his downfall and then having one of his best nights of his career right after.
You think it's connected?
I don't know, but it definitely hurts Drake. I think LeBron wants to put on a show for New York.
Yeah.
I think he's in Brooklyn. It's a home game.
Yeah.
Every single person in there is wearing Lakers gear.
Yeah, people love the Lakers.
And he knows that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's beautiful. Well, I'm happy that you had a beautiful time and all the drama was real.
The drama was real. It was good.
Well, the one regret is you didn't shower.
No, yeah. I've showered now. Yeah. Showered before. But it was great. I couldn't have asked for a better game.
Did you drink or were you like, I want to feel this?
No, I drank. I thought I had a video of his ninth three. Going in because I've had it the phone out, but he's making these crazy shots. I'm not taking any videos. I was very much locked into watching it.
Interesting. Interesting. You drank a little bit.
I had two beers.
Yeah, but you want to stay a little sober so you could really enjoy.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to be like wasted.
No, I feel.
No, I'm trying. I was just happy and excited and a little nervous. So you have a little buzz. Take the buzz off.
Beer. But that's your go-to. Not a White Claw.
No. Bud Light. I like Bud Light. I like Bud Light. I like Michelob Ultra. I've been calling it a beer flavored seltzer because it's so light.
Yeah, it's very light.
It's basically seltzer with a hint of beer.
Here's my thing about beer.
Okay.
All right. So when this comes out, National Beer Day would have passed.
Okay.
April 7th, National Beer Day.
April 7th.
A holiday brought to you by Anheuser.
Yeah.
Right? Totally like a capitalist holiday, right?
Yeah, something of trying to sell beer. You think it came from Anheuser-Busch or you came from like bars?
I think it probably came from like an actual beer company.
And they're like, all our bars that we distribute to, just so you guys know, this is the promo we're running. Here's some flyers. Yes. Throw it up in your bar. Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
National Beer Day.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I mean, everyone should just make National Blank Day if they want to sell their product.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? National Insoles Day. Dr. Scholes. Yeah. Take a walk on National Insoles Day and feel those bunions go away.
Yeah. I mean, we have that a little bit.
We do. Yeah. But beer, what makes beer a manly drink? I was thinking about that, right?
Yes.
And I think what makes beer a manly drink is that it tastes bad. And there's something about being a man that you need to just enjoy things that aren't enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because yeah. What are the man drinks? What are the man alcoholic drinks, right? What is it? Beer and whiskey.
Whiskey, scotch, yeah.
And right? And the whole thing of whiskey is you take a sip and you pretend it doesn't hurt. Right?
Puts hair on your chest.
Yeah, it puts hair on your chest.
Yes.
Right? What's a manly coffee drink? Black. Why? It's bitter. It doesn't taste sweet and enjoyable. So yeah. Is anything that's not enjoyable, like beer, something that it literally hurts your insides and makes you fart all night long? Something that makes you want to belch and get it out of you? Anything that isn't enjoyable, a manly thing?
I guess so.
So the girliest thing I do is get head.
Yes.
So is...
Yeah, there's people that think oral sex is not... usually. There's only one way to have sex. Missionary.
No, but I will say the anything that's enjoyable, is that's girly? Because I'll tell you this, a daiquiri...
Love a daiquiri.
Girly drink, right?
Yeah.
Why? You take a sip, it's sweet, it's beautiful, and go, oh, I could have that all day. Girly.
I guess if it tastes good, it's girly.
Is that the rules?
I guess so. But that's not really the case for food. Because then you're just insane if you're eating food that tastes bad.
I'll tell you this, man.
What?
I'd rather a mac and cheese has been given to the girlies.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese? I would rather a mac and cheese over a steak.
Yeah.
A steak sometimes is like you're cutting it hard.
I like a steak. A steak can taste really good, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about steak.
Yeah, you're not a huge steak person.
No, but I'll tell you this. Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Potatoes. Like, these are all given to the girls.
Even now we're talking about this, and I feel like the cultures that have good food are seen as more feminine. And the cultures that have really bland, boring food are seen as more masculine.
Like Scandinavian cultures.
Yeah, Russia.
Russia, a place that is about like toughness,
Czech Republic,
and masculinity.
And all the places that you go on your European vacation that have bad food, yeah, I would say the men are seen as a little bit more masculine.
Most people would argue that it has to do with what grows in that region.
Okay. You could put spice on anything. You could put salt. You could dress
but where
up anything.
Tradition comes from.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Like why pickled fish is so popular in?
Well, because you buy fish.
Because they have fish, and then they need to keep it fresh, so they pickle.
So maybe that's the root of it. Is discomfort is seen as masculine?
Discomfort is seen as masculine.
And if you live in uncomfortable places, you're seen as a masculine person.
And that's what beer is.
Yeah.
Because I drink beer, the flavor ain't great.
Yeah.
And it goes in my belly, and then I foof all night long.
I don't know.
I foof all night long.
Is beer still seen as masculine?
I think so.
Yeah. I feel like the hipsters really took it over for a little bit.
Well, it wasn't for, I think that a lot of people started drinking beer, and you know what men did?
What?
They go, we'll make IPAs.
Yeah.
We'll make the beer thicker
hard.
And harder. They go, how could we make beer even more unenjoyable?
Yes.
That's what an IPA is.
Let's make it taste worse. Yes.
Let's make it taste worse, and that's more manly.
Yes.
That's all it was.
Yeah, 100%.
So, it's, I was thinking, I haven't drank in weeks and weeks.
Nice. How do you feel?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know.
My roommate hasn't drank in months.
That's nice. I think more people are going to be doing that.
I know.
Well, it's hard with this summer coming around.
Yes.
People like to have a cocktail out and about.
It's nice. You walk outside. It puts you in a good mood.
Yeah, it does. It
makes you happy.
Yeah.
Not masculine.
It's not masculine.
No, it's
enjoying
not.
Enjoying yourself isn't masculine.
No, not at all. I mean, it should be. We're trying to change the concept of masculinity on this podcast.
I know. That's why I like drinking. I mean, I
don't even know. I don't masculine, feminine. I just think what's cool. What is attractive?
I like a white
and guy. For a man to be attractive, you should enjoy yourself if you want to be attractive and be seen as having a nice time. Because you know what? Other people also want to have a nice time.
I know. That's beautiful. But the thing about the summer being around the corner.
What?
My algorithm has completely changed.
To what?
To people giving me a countdown, a doomsday countdown, till I'll have to take my shirt off at the beach. It is the most terrifying thing. So fitness influencers were heavy in January.
Okay.
February, March.
Maybe their biggest month, January?
Maybe their biggest month. February, okay. March, I haven't seen them.
Off season.
It's like it's like forgetting mosquitoes exist all okay. winter long.
Yes.
And then they came back, these pests. And they are back, and they are counting down the days till summer.
Wow. So April 1st.
April 1st. I'm getting, today I woke up to 80 days till summer.
80 days till
the
summer.
The first thing I saw when I woke up was 80 days till summer.
That's so funny.
80 days till you'll have to take your shirt off at the beach is the video I woke up to this morning.
So fitness influencers and random men in New Jersey that live with their parents started a countdown today.
Yes.
Because that, the people in New Jersey love the summer countdown too, because they only are able to live at the Jersey Shore for 3 months.
And because it makes them living in Jersey a better.
Yes.
It proves that it's not
a, they move out of their parents' house for 2.5 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So that and fitness influencers.
It's true.
Woke up today with a countdown.
A countdown to how many days till summer is here.
Yeah, 80
days. They are there. And they are doing all they can. If you sign up for my program now, within 2 weeks, you'll feel it. 4 weeks, you'll notice. 6 weeks, they'll see it.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm getting all that bullshit.
You're getting that again. Yeah.
I'm back on. We're back to the fear-mongering.
Which is wild.
There's videos.
Do they start it like that? They'll truly just scare you?
It's absurd.
They go, hey, you have to take your shirt off soon.
Truly.
Really? Oh, that's really bad.
Truly.
Do you mute them? Do you just go, I don't want to see this. Mute.
No.
You don't?
I comment.
You comment? I'm about to start commenting. I think I'm going to start commenting. I'm going to join. If you can't beat them, join them. I might start commenting.
Just start commenting on stuff.
Yeah.
Just let's stoop down. You know what?
I was thinking about it.
Sometimes it's good to screw taking the high road.
No, I want to take the low road so fucking bad.
We have to remember the low road is some of the joys in life.
Yeah.
Taking the low, petty ass road
is
some of the most richest feeling you could have.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about with LeBron. He's channeling the energy of a feud is powerful. Having a really just that is powerful, that, and I'm not allowing myself to access
it's
it.
It's the junk food of social interaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what?
I want to talk
you
my
need
shit.
Junk food sometimes.
I know.
You hit it. You just can't have too much.
Yeah.
But damn, it does it taste sweet to comment and call someone a loser.
Just to remind someone who they are and who I am.
Oh, the low road is beautiful.
I did this video about smoking weed in New York. And your mom liked it, which made me feel really nice. It made me feel really nice, especially given the fact that I got a lot of hate on it. And I might have to clarify. I feel like if you listen to the podcast, you understood the greater point I was trying to make. But this guy, West Village Truther, is commenting on it. And he's talking shit about me. And I go on this fucking page, and he just ranks establishments in the West Village. He's like, oh, this is a clown. This is good. This coffee shop. And it's just like expensive ass places in the West Village. And then I'm scrolling and I see on his thing, he's like, I really wanted to hate Aspen, but I couldn't. And then he does this whole fucking expose about how much he loves Aspen. And I'm like, who are you? You just rate.
He's rich.
Really? He's probably not from New York.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, I would say less than 10% of the people that live in the West Village are from New York.
That meant nothing.
That's my guess. What would you say? Me and my cousin were talking about this yesterday, actually. What would you say?
I don't know. I haven't been there forever. I guess I've been there. I don't know.
Fideye has got to be low.
Yeah.
There's a few neighborhoods where you're
most
just like.
Is low.
And all he just ranks like new places and tries to get in like the popular places and talks about them. And that's what he gets. He's fucking. I just wanted to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Why are you talking shit to me for no reason? Oh, this guy must be. Who are you? You just post pictures of Aspen with little clown things. I wanted to fucking. But then he only had 5,000 followers. I'm like, it's not worth it.
Well, here's the thing.
To start a feud with this guy. Because I wanted to start a feud with him.
Well, it is enjoyable to start a feud.
Yeah.
It is.
I just needed the proper partner. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Kendrick's not going to go at... He's going to go at Drake.
Oh, you mean...
I need someone
rival.
I view as...
Partners on
yeah,
song.
rival. Yeah, I need someone that I deem a fair rival. And I saw him and I was like, it's not even worth it. Some fucking guy who's trying to get clout by reviewing places that have clout in the West Village and calling them mid.
So you're looking for a rival.
I want a rival. I want a fair... I
don't want a rival.
You don't need.
I don't need.
Yeah.
I get
you don't think it would be...
I get plenty of hate. And I'm not a fighter.
No, I know.
I'm not a fighter.
Do you think it would be cathartic to really tell somebody off? I guess you won't have that satisfaction.
I would in my real life. I don't care about people I don't see.
I think if they added a function on Instagram where you could comment with a voice memo, you would be good at responding to people.
Yeah, I don't need to respond to people on the internet. I don't take love on the internet to heart. Yes. I don't take hate to heart.
Yeah.
Which I think is the healthiest way to do it.
No, definitely.
I just kind of feel like if someone loves so much, it doesn't feel
also
real.
It's different. They make fun of you, like your appearance or certain things, whereas like to me, they're making fun of my take.
Yeah, no one
So
ever,
it's like for me to go back at you is,
you know what's amazing
you.
About videos that I'm in?
What?
The words don't even matter.
Sometimes.
Blobbity blue blob, blobbity blop blop.
Sometimes they hear that.
And all they see is, who allowed this fat man to create a video of himself?
Well, they're jealous.
Who let a fat person speak?
They're jealous.
Who let him out of the cage? Throw him back in the cage! And I'm over here, I go, what's nicer than, like, friends and family? Who let this man out of the cage? Put him in the dungeon. I really think it's nice if we just, like...
Is loving your family a red flag?
Yeah, isn't it great if we're like all like nice to each other? I felt like if I look at things in a positive way, I feel better about myself, and then I'm interacting with people better. This man is a monster. Who let the whale on land? Ooh. So that's
why. And that's like not even worth it to respond to them because it's not. That's not a fight that is even worth having. Whereas we're making fun of what I say. It's like, all right, we could debate this.
The one of the ones that annoyed me the most was this guy made fun of me on a video that I didn't post. Someone else posted, so I couldn't even delete the comments. He made fun of me, called me fat. I was like, and I wanted to just be like, oh, can we just delete this comment?
Yeah.
But they kept it up.
Did you ask them to?
No, but they should have just deleted.
I would. Yeah. We would
delete.
If somebody said something about someone's appearance.
Unless it was
completely
1,000
irrelevant.
Comments.
Yeah.
But it was the one comment on the video so far for like hours. And it was just about making fun of me. I was like, how are they not deleting
me? Yeah, that is wild.
But anyways, the guy who commented the thing, I click on his profile. He runs a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
You cannot run a restaurant and shit on fat people. You cannot run a restaurant. You cannot be a restaurant owner and hate maybe the best clientele you can have.
Maybe.
You don't run a bar. You don't get mad at alcoholics.
Yeah.
You don't go. If you own a gym, you don't go, well, someone's dealing with their problems by lifting instead of going to therapy.
Yeah.
You don't comment.
No, 100%.
That would be the same thing. If I owned a gym and I went on someone's page being like, those biceps read mommy problems, get to therapy instead of the gym. It's the same.
It's 100% the same thing.
How we don't see it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's wild.
Why is this man that owns a restaurant that my people support?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's wild.
Unbelievable.
It is not. I mean, people are really fatphobic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Which is obviously
a
greater issue.
About, I'm not on dating apps. I'm not dating. But I want to do an episode soon about... I get all this Reddit things about like how to present as fat on dating apps. We got to talk about that
one day. Okay.
Because it's unbelievable. I feel it's crazy on all ends.
Yeah. But I was going to say, people that I've found really value internet clout in a way that I am very confused by.
Okay.
Because people will be like, sell me, I have a lot of internet clout. And they're like, that's a big deal. Like, especially the kids I work with or whatever. And I'm like, are people just don't have anything that they're like, now internet clout is seen as great. Like, we don't have a lot. We don't really know where rent is going to come from. We don't. Like, I have 3,000 followers on Instagram, so now it's just like, all right, yeah, you have a huge target on your back, and you are undeserving of that.
That's insane.
It is so insane. And people are just like, no, you have clout, you have clout, you have clout. I'm like, I don't have any, what?
It's not even
No, it's zero clout. I'm like, I don't have clout. I really don't have clout. I think, what clout do I have?
None.
I can't go in anything if I interact with someone. It's if I'm personable in the situation, maybe something will happen. Positive. Oh, I'll throw you a free slice of pizza. But like, I don't really have that. But people view it as that, and I guess view it as something that you are able to be taken down as because you have internet clout. And I'm like, I don't have any fucking clout at all.
I know there is this thing of like people with so many, I like people with actual like millions of followers that are just broke and poor.
Yeah.
We need to I think that.
And that's not our goal at all with this. Ideally, people just listen to this show. No, yeah, but even that is like, the clips, obviously, if we just had a huge following for the show, we'd probably do less clips.
Yeah, the clips are a vehicle to get people.
Yeah, we want people to just listen to the long form. Also, we were talking the other day like about the clips. A lot of the stuff, I mean, obviously, you're here, you're listening, but it's not PC enough, or like, we just talk about sex and drugs too much to put it in clips.
Yeah.
So stuff that we do that's funny and isn't even making the clips.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course.
But it's just not what's the reality.
Yeah, and it's like, we're not in the business of internet clout. It's just a vehicle to hopefully get people to listen to the show.
Hopefully, yeah. So let's not, pick your battle for the feud that you pick, okay, Rob?
Yeah.
Pick your battle.
I will.
Okay.
But I want to enter a feud. I think it would be maybe good.
With you, I don't want any involvement.
You don't want involvement. I don't need to. I don't want involvement.
I need my life to be.
I won't involve you.
I need peace, man.
You need peace.
I really need peace.
Okay.
More
okay.
than ever.
Okay. So I'll postpone the feud then.
I don't need.
I'll postpone the feud.
I can't tell you this, man, because you get in a feud. Next thing you know, somehow they found a picture of me.
Yeah, you would catch them straight.
I would catch strays.
Yeah, you would.
More than you.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
And I just need peace in my life, man.
Yeah. All right, I want no food. Feud postponed. Feud postponed.
I just really, like, I don't know how to tell you this, man.
Feuds are motivating, I think. I'm like, they're motivating, they're juicy, they're, I don't know.
Do you know what my life is?
What?
I help my mother, and I do work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't need a feud.
And then I scream in the middle of the night with nightmares.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So you don't think it could be good for like the self confidence? Because you just gotta hype yourself up against this other person.
I don't think you know me. Okay. That if you think that
it wouldn't.
If I'm getting negative comments, you don't think I'm absorbing them. You think it goes, what do they know? I don't say what do they know. I go, how do they know?
Okay. I see. Not what do they know? How do they know?
Yeah. So that's what's happening. I want to also talk about this before we get out of here. It is college acceptance time.
Right now.
People are posted online talking about clout and all this stuff, right?
Okay, yes. That is clout.
That is clout. People are posted online, kids now, about what colleges they're getting accepted to. There's like this new trend where they watch their acceptance live.
Oh, right. April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're watching it and they're seeing what colleges they get into.
Yes.
Right? And I just wanted to let the people know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter really what college you go to.
Absolutely.
Most colleges, you'll just still have to describe what it is. Most colleges, you'll have to go, it's a small liberal arts school upstate.
Yes.
Oh, it's a big state school, right?
Aside from maybe 30 that are pretty self-explanatory.
Here's the thing. What college you go to doesn't matter. Just pick the college and be happy on it based on the experience you want to have.
Yeah.
That's what you should be looking at, right?
I have so much advice around this, actually.
The experience you want to have. But the other thing is, nobody cares about what college you go to unless you go to Harvard.
Yes.
And then if you go to Harvard, congratulations. You now could brag for your entire life about all the accomplishments that you had before the age of 17.
And you will.
And for your entire life.
Yes.
You will now have... You officially have something that you could say at every dinner party that will make people go, oh, well, you know, he went to Harvard. That's complimenting someone on what they did at 16.
Yes.
Oh, that's going, well, you know, he won the talent show.
Well, really, really from like, well, I guess, you know, 12 to 16.
Did you know he got a 5 on the on the AP exam, world history? You know, like, imagine being at a dinner party and bragging about other accomplishments you had from 12 to 16.
Yes. No, it is wild.
He was all state. He was all state in the Little League tournaments.
People do. I mean, I guess if you won a high school championship, but even then, that's got to go soon.
You got to go.
That's got to go.
That's got to go. Harvard is something that sticks around.
Harvard does stick around, and it has nothing to do with anything that you've done as an adult. And it has a lot to do with what your parents were able to do for you.
Beautiful, right?
Yes.
It's not even just what you did. Some people, of course, it is.
But very rarely.
There's a great portion of these people, you have to remember, that get into Harvard,
that their parents were like, from the second they were born, we're going to create a resume for you to get you into Harvard.
And they did.
And they did. I was one of those kids. Failed.
You went to TCNJ.
Went to TCNJ, baby.
Yeah.
The best thing I ever did in my life.
I
would say is go to TCNJ.
Here's the thing. This is it's a group project that the parents were involved in for this.
Yes,
Harvard
that's
kid.
Exactly what it is. It's a group it's a group project.
It's a group
and
project.
It's like sometimes the kid does a lot in the group project, but I would say more times than not, the mom or the dad are the ones who are carrying the bulk of the load in the group project.
You went to, they sent you to the right school. They took you to the right extracurriculars, right?
Yeah.
And that's the only place that you could brag for the rest of your life.
Harvard, Princeton doesn't carry the same. Princeton, Stanford,
Yale.
It's not Harvard, though.
It's not Harvard. MIT.
Harvard did some really good marketing because it's not even necessarily the best.
I want to know who at Harvard paid for Elle Woods.
Yeah, you think it's Elle?
Elle gave.
You
L
think
gave
she
Harvard
put her to the
lift.
Next? Interesting.
Elle Woods made Harvard hot. So if you don't get into all these schools and you're like, God damn it, I have to go to Albany instead of Binghamton. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Don't beat yourself up about it.
I would say the thing that matters most is having a community at the college.
Yes.
And who you meet at the college. Everyone goes, who you know. And then it's like, now I look back and it's like, it would make no sense for you, if you live in New Jersey and you plan to live in New Jersey after college, for you to go to even UNC.
Wouldn't make
because
sense.
Because you're a fan of whatever, or it's a really good school. UNC is a really good school. But most of the people that graduate UNC move to Charlotte or they live in the area. They become senators. They become, like, these big schools.
Most
service.
Most people that go to UNC become senators.
No, but, like, the biggest people. You know, all right, do you know
the
what I'm saying, though? Graduating
class.
But a lot of these state schools stay in the area, and they are, like, the big people in the area.
So why not?
So, like, you go where you want to have a community afterwards, which is what I didn't really think of when I was going to college. I'm like, I'm so happy I went to CCNJ because all the people I know are around this area now. And the connections that I made and the friendships that I built is like, you can see them and we could help each other in our lot. You know what I mean? Like, you're around each other.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these big schools, even say like a Stanford, you were to go to Stanford, people are going to be all over the place.
Of course.
And you're not seeing them. There's not as much. I mean, always there's going to be a community in New York, but not like if you went to school here and stayed here.
Except if you go to Harvard.
Harvard, yeah.
And here's the thing about Harvard.
Yeah.
You go to Harvard, congratulations. You officially have your fun fact for life.
Sure.
Congratulations. If you do nothing from this day forward, people will look at you, either they will be annoyed at you or they will look at you highly.
Yes.
No matter what you do in your life. At 17, if I got into Harvard...
How do you feel about...
I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't need to do shit else. You know who I'm impressed by?
Who?
Someone that doesn't even say they went to Harvard.
Well, what about the people that go, where'd you go to college? I went to a school in Boston.
Oh, shut up.
Where?
Because that's the most conceited
yes,
thing
Yes,
because
they know that the next question
that's
is
like
coming.
That's like a guy pulling out a grower and it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's literally, it's like someone playing coy.
Yes. Yeah. Because you know you're going to get the second question.
Don't play coy.
Yeah, yeah,
if
yeah.
someone goes, I went to school in Boston, I'll go, oh, Boston Community College. Yeah, I had a couple friends that went there.
Yeah. Nice.
Boom. Take him down.
Yeah.
No, we have to remember that whatever college you got into, it's a group project that you had with your parents.
Yes.
Right? So, and not everyone gets that. Also, it doesn't truly matter.
No, it doesn't really matter at all.
Keep it low.
Yeah.
Student loans ruin people's lives.
100%.
Keep the money low, live there, and unless you got into Harvard, and congratulations, you've officially are a successful douche.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
No, I know. My brother went to Notre Dame, and he's just in Chicago now. He's lived in the Midwest. He's been a Midwesterner now since 2015.
It's a great...
Almost 10 years of being, which like you don't think about when you're 17, is like, oh, I like Notre Dame football. He also just signed up to be a Midwesterner potentially for the rest of his life. I have no idea when he's going to come back.
In the same vein, if you want to leave your family, this is a great opportunity to leave forever.
Yeah, yeah, you could leave forever.
You could leave forever.
If you're trying to get out.
It's a soft quitting of your family.
Yeah.
Like going far away for college is you soft quitting your family.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because it's like, I'm sorry, I just really, I've been dreaming to go to Arizona State all my life. I know I'm from Jersey, but I've been dreaming Arizona State. You know, I love it out there so much. Right? You go to ASU, all of a sudden the holidays come back. You're there Thanksgiving, Christmas. Next year, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Next year, just Christmas. Then you start spending summers in Arizona. It's a soft quitting of your family.
Ideally, then you move to Scottsdale or Phoenix because otherwise
and you, get
you build
job.
All these communities. Like, that's where the jobs are around Arizona State. Like, Arizona State grads supply Arizona with a lot of the jobs.
Yes.
Like, that's what I don't think people are, like, thinking about when they're 17. The marketing is so good about, like, the sports and the parties and all this. It's like, no, they supply the areas around them with intelligent people, hopefully, to be their doctors, to be their lawyers, to be their...
It's a great way, if you want to get away from your family, to do it in a polite way.
Because you're basically being like, I'm signing up to enter the Arizona community.
And that's amazing. And your parents don't take direct offense to it.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's like one of the areas that we won't take direct offense.
Yeah.
Which I...
Because they worked on the group project and they're like, Arizona State is considered a B+, whereas like wherever you're getting into around here is more considered a C+.
Yes.
So like we'll send you there because I want you to get a B+. Because I also worked on this project too.
That's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
The parents will allow it because they feel proud of where you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But little do they know that you're starting a life. You're quitting the family.
I know. This happened in my family in multiple instances.
This might be the most Italian American take we also ever had.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is true.
But it is true. You go far away from school. That's you, kind of being like, okay, I'm kind of quitting the family a little bit. Okay, I'm kind of taking a step back. That's you going, hey, I'm not going to work in the office anymore. I'm going to start working in the field.
Yeah.
You don't go back. When you go back to the office, everyone makes a stink. You go, where do I sit? And they go, anywhere. Well, your desk. We don't have your desk anymore, but, you know?
Yeah, that it is. You leave. And then the people who don't, like the families that the parents didn't work on the group project, they are the most ones of, like, stay home.
Yeah.
But they hide it. Like, that's where the people that you're actually, like... Like, they earned it. I would say, but the person who has to hide that they got into Harvard from their parents and be like, the kid in, like...
How does that happen?
I guess not Harvard, but I knew someone that... I mean, I guess because it's expensive, too. Because if you don't get a scholarship, it's like, I'm not going to spend the $60,000. Even Harvard, maybe isn't worth it. I guess Harvard is the one that is probably worth
it.
But, like, in NYU, I knew someone that hid getting into NYU difference. From his family.
Well, NYU is a waste of money.
Yeah. Not if you want to do comedy.
my biggest mistake was not going to NYU.
Yeah, definitely.
That was my biggest mistake. But you know what? Screw it. Who cares? That's actually a blessing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you would have. I don't think NYU would have changed liked you.
It. Yeah, no.
You might not have liked it, but I don't think it would have changed you.
I would have hung out
you.
With my boys from Staten Island.
Probably. definitely. That's what you did.
That's what I did in the Bronx. That's what I did in Manhattan, you know? They just would have been closer.
Yeah.
Oh, it might have been bad.
Yeah.
beautiful. So no matter where you got into school, no matter where you got rejected, remember, in the future, it really won't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Enjoy the experience, except if you got into Harvard. Congratulations. You could stop developing your personality.
100%. I got rejected a lot of places.
I only got rejected from one.
Nice. Where?
Cooper Union.
Hard.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
because it's free.
Yeah, it's one of the most competitive schools
in the country.
In the country.
Yeah.
And here was the thing with me for getting in. There's a 3-step process. And so for the first 2, you write essays, yada, yada. For the 3rd, you have to write 12 essays.
I hate that shit.
And I said, please, I hope that I get eliminated on the second. So I don't have to do the 3rd. And of course, I made it to the final round.
And you had to do it. 12 essays.
I didn't want to go. It's a blessing I didn't go.
Yeah. That's how I feel about all the ones I didn't get into. Because yeah, my parents would have had to pay full price for
it's a
BC.
Blessing. Yeah.
And oh my God, the people that go to BC. No yeah. offense, but like, I don't. And no. I don't know. I'm afraid of what I would have became. I mean, not that I became something great in college anyways, but I'm just so thankful that I went where I went. And it was maybe not my first option at the time.
Yeah, it's a blessing. I think that people have a lot of hard feelings because they fantasize what that college is.
Yes. It's about the people.
Yeah, it's about the people.
And I met great people.
I love
yeah.
how we're talking like
so, yeah, like we have a ton of no, but I think a lot of people relate to this.
Yeah, I don't think it matters at the end of the day. I think most people, they say what college they went to and then they describe it.
Yeah.
But you should not. You describe your college different to different people, which is funny.
What do I do?
You go TCNJ. Oh, it's like a state Ivy League school. You'll say
no, I don't
people.
Say that. I do not say that. I do not say that. They say that. And I disagree. I make fun of it.
There he is.
There's billboards in New Jersey, public Ivy. I'm like, what are we doing here? That's what I say.
He says it.
No, I say what are we doing here?
You
I criticize them when they do that.
I love that.
I say it's a state school in New Jersey. It's most similar to Rutgers. It's like if Rutgers was a little smaller.
That's me going to the gym. I bench 225. I never even lift. What's going on? Can you believe it? Like me, and I go, no. I don't know, man. We're talking about how to make chicken parm over here, and you're bringing up benching, right? I'll be like, man, you know what? Yeah, Coke Zero just came out. This new spice. They tried it. It was okay. And you go, yeah, yeah. Oh, if you're driving, there's a billboard that says, like out of nowhere, I'll go TCNJ.
We've seen the billboard. You've seen it.
Yeah,
on the way to Philly.
Can I tell you this?
What?
You've pointed it out before I saw it.
Because it's wild.
So, but...
I don't agree with that assessment, but
nice.
I enjoyed it.
When I say where I went to school, I always have to say it's where they filmed A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
That's like my... You'll find it 10 years from when you graduate college, 5 years, you'll just have to have a quote to summarize the college.
I say state school in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then because especially people go to their state schools and their little states...
Yeah.
And it's same similar thing.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
I like it. My friends, I have a show. I did the show this weekend. Thanks to everybody who came out to the show. It sold out again. It was a ton of fun. But it's nice going to college. I was part of the show. I talk about going to college in my senior year or whatever. And my friends that I went to college with are able to come to the show.
That is nice.
And they bring their friends and they see it. That's a part of the reason I sell these shows out is that I went to college in the area. And people want to see what I'm up to. But...
So go to college someplace where
you can do an improv show.
You can do a fucking improv show bar yeah. in the future.
That's really the main Rob. Thesis.
Good advice, Rob.
But it's show. The show is super fun. I'm doing it one more time, May 7th, and Sebastian is going to do the show.
I'll be there.
I've been not practicing, but it's ready. It's ready for you.
You're so
the show
annoying.
Is ready for you.
He's so annoying.
No, I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. He doesn't know the show. It's very embarrassing. It's probably the most embarrassing thing that I've done is read this publicly to people.
Sorry, I haven't been able to come catch.
No, I don't want you. Yeah. At this point, I wouldn't want you to see it. I want you to experience it for the first time live.
Yeah, yeah.
And hear what I say and see your reactions. I think it will be interesting.
I'm going to take a back seat. I'll just go. Oh yeah, there you go.
I hope not. But the show is very fun. It's I bring 4 comedians on stage. I read the most embarrassing thing that I've wrote, which is this book to my ex-girlfriend. And I am shitty in it. And I think that's relatable.
Cool.
I do a bad job of having a crush, we'll say.
Yeah.
And it's a Christmas present that I wrote my ex-girlfriend that I read. The day is May 7th. And yeah, Sebastian will be on the show. More to come on that. But if you like this podcast... you will definitely, I would say, enjoy that show. And I'm happy that you'll be doing it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
For sure. The LeBron James of performing live. Sebastian Canelli.
I would not say not performing live. I would say that's Usher does a good job too.
Usher's in that category too. There's a few people. I've been watching a lot of. I watched a 15 minute. You do incredible. I watched a 15 minute Otis Redding performance.
Oh, he's so good
at Monterey. It was incredible. I've been really into live performance in general.
Cigarettes and coffee. Oh,
I haven't
God.
Seen it.
There's a line that also that he sings that kills me. I'm too scared of living, but I'm afraid to die. There was a period of my life I was like, "That's me."
That's still at that point. Yeah, I didn't realize he died at 26.
Yeah, man, bro, he was. I put him on, and I feel. I liked Ray Charles, and then it was an entry point to like people like him.
Yeah,
and oh God, I feel him. That's what's important to me about art: feeling the person's through the art. That's why I like Van Gogh so much. I feel him through his brushstrokes. Right.
Interesting.
I feel Ray Charles through the piano. Right. I need to feel whatever art I'm obsessed with. I need to feel who they are through it. And yes. Otis Redding is a person that you could feel through his voice.
100%. And when he performs, he's like giving you everything.
100%.
And it's very, which I think you do.
Well, here's also the thing. That's why sometimes I struggle, why people don't love pop music is because you can't feel them. But it's not meant to be that.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, that's why I think my critique of pop music is I can't feel the person.
Yeah.
Mm-bop.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Even a lot of Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah, 100%.
There's, nothing there.
A lot of Drake songs, there's nothing there.
Yes.
But then Kendrick comes in, and it's like very, you feel like he's pissed.
Exactly.
And that's why it relates. That's why Bron's rapping it.
And it doesn't just have to be heavy stuff. You could feel someone being happy.
Oh, 100%. Too, yeah, yeah.
Right? There's so many, why people like Adam Sandler is because you could feel his joy.
Yes.
His movies are bad, but you feel his joy and how happy and silly he thinks it is to be doing this.
Yes.
And that's why we love him.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with the idea of,
artist feeling.
Something we talked about before.
Yeah, no,
but
I like it too.
I think that's why I think pop music serves a purpose.
For sure.
I think that's what it is. I don't like shitting on any genre because every genre serves its purpose, right?
Yes.
You know when chicken isn't good? I love chicken cutlets, right? You know what's not good in a sushi roll?
Yes.
Right? We have to know when to use stuff.
Yes.
Well, you don't put on Otis Redding when at a party.
No.
Right? You put on a pop song because you want those vibes.
You don't want people feeling that much at a party.
No. You want the opposite.
Yeah,
you want to push
light
down
and
the feelings.
Light and
push
fun.
Down
light.
The feelings, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I think that it's like knowing your role and knowing who you are as the artist.
Yes.
That's
but
so important.
It is like, oh, when you see that, it's hard
to go back.
Because especially what I find live, we could end this soon, but
we have to.
People in New York, you go see people trying to come up in New York and perform live, and there's people that will give you 1,000% for 15 people, and it's like, yeah, that's what you got to be doing at this point. You need to convey this to an audience that you are fucking, this is your heart and soul, and this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life, and this is what you want, this is your dream, and it's like to be kind of detached from it, which some people do,
mm-hmm.
is like, it's hard for me to get on board of you while you're trying to do this.
Well, I think that's actually why podcasts do well.
Because they're a little detached.
No.
Okay.
I think, in general, the platform podcast itself, why it does well is because people show themselves.
Oh, yes.
You do
the best ones, yes.
You do so many hours, you can't not show yourself.
Yes, that's true.
And so I think that's why people connect to podcasts and they don't realize it. It's not the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We tell
people
nothing. They learn
zero information. Loud about nothing. What? I say it all the time.
You were...
What?
You were...
What?
You're such a nerd.
I am. People don't realize.
But I think that's why people connect to podcasts is because they feel connected to the people. And I think it's probably one of the, I shouldn't say the easiest platform to do that, but I think that's what is important.
Yes. But there's also something beautiful about someone live. Just clearly they're giving it everything.
Yeah,
and that you could feel the passion through a live performer where I'm like...
But I just don't want to equate efforts. I don't need someone
I see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't
want to scream, and now that doesn't make it good.
No, yeah, I don't.
But that's not. I'm feeling you. I'm feeling a spoiled brat that's screaming on stage right now.
I think someone showing up, being present for you in the moment, is them giving and being present and open.
Yeah,
is them giving you everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in my mind, it's not someone.
Because then there's people with no talent that just scream.
Yes, I don't think giving everything. I just wanted to make that
clear.
Now we're in a topic that I people actually that care scream. About.
I don't actually
care about bald men as much as this.
No, I know.
So that's why I need to clarify.
But there's when you see a lineup of people and then one person is clearly like just giving you so much more energy, I think that, I don't know, I've always been like that, I connect with that person the most.
Yeah, for me, I just need to know who they are, how they feel, right?
Yes.
What brings them joy, what brings them pain? Because art is about connecting. For me, it's about humans connecting with the humans on the experience that we have on this earth.
Yes.
Right? And that's what vulnerability is, to showing the good and the bad and the joy and the happiness, right? All those things. Showing my definition of vulnerability is someone being open enough to let the world affect them and then being able to show it to people. That's what I think a beautiful artist is.
I love that.
And that's why it's painful to be an artist.
Yes.
Because it's not easy to do that.
No.
It's not. It's to shut yourself down and not be affected is something everyone in society does. And that's the thing, the hard part about being an artist.
Yes.
Right? Is, it's like allowing the world to affect you.
Yeah. And then trying to express it and allowing that to be public.
Yeah. I think allowing the world to affect you is even harder.
Okay. You think?
Yeah, because people have defense mechanisms and put stuff up.
I guess I've always been, I don't know. I feel like I've always allowed the world to affect me.
You hide from stuff.
I do.
Yeah.
What do I hide from?
You hide from stuff.
All right, we'll talk about it in the Patreon. Or we can talk about it off mic. But I'm curious.
I hide from stuff too. And I've been
I'm
thinking
curious
about
what I hide from, because I do feel like I'm pretty vulnerable at this point.
I think that I hide from stuff too, and I have mechanisms that probably I've been using that have held me back as an artist.
Interesting.
Which I've been thinking about. All right, let's go to the Patreon. I'll talk about this at the beginning of the Patreon.
Okay.
Okay? So tune in. The first 5 minutes of the Patreon you get for free.
You get for free.
So I'll finish this conversation over there.
Okay.
Okay? And then I'll go into other shit I want to talk about there.
Okay? Same.
Beautiful. All right, Robbie, hit the music.